Yep, we're going.
We are going.
Yes.
As you can probably tell, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm Emerson, and
I didn't die on the boat. Although yeah, Joe, I probably do sound like shit.
Joe's back, which means Spelvin can go back in his cupboard until we decide to let him out again.
Yeah. Yeah,
Seriously, thank you, George, like for stepping in. Thank you for stepping in last week, George.
I listened to the episode on the boat. It was good. I will say I enjoyed the cruise more than I think Spelvin would have.
Well, that's good. Did you at least watch the last week's episode that we covered?
Nope.
So you've not seen Series 7, Episode 3?
Nope.
That's quite bad. You should probably go do that after this.
I will have to. I'll be real. I listened to the episode on the boat, and that was about it. That was my only commitment to the outside world for the entire week on that
boat.
Well,
good to know he cares. Did you ultimately have a good time? Was the wedding all right?
Yeah, no, the wedding was fine. It was very hot. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Caribbean tourist destinations, because it's always like you're going to this one place that's surrounded by armed guards and walls, and then on the other side is where like the real island is. But that's a conversation for another podcast that I'm not involved
we'll
with
probably
or anyone
never exist.
Of,
and we'll probably
that,
never exist.
That doesn't exist. But you know, but it was a lot of fun, although I will say the food sucked. I think I caught a cold from my brother on the boat, which I'm not going to hold that against the boat, but also I will just say this. I can totally see why cruise ships are vectors of disease transmission, like, all the time.
Would you recommend a cruise to a person who's never done it?
If you're white trash, yes, I would recommend a Carnival cruise.
Okay. I've just realized I've not been recording Audacity, so either the audio is going to sound shit or it's going to sound fine.
I will recommend for a cruise, if you're white trash, you will fit in on Carnival Cruise Lines. If you're not white trash, you're going to be surrounded by about 5,500 white trash people who are getting loaded on alcohol that costs way too much money.
So it's basically like a glorified festival that you spend about a week on.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about right.
Should we talk about Taskmaster Series 7, Episode 4?
Yes, we should. Yes, we should.
So do you want to do the prize task or should I?
Do we want to flip a coin on it?
Might as well. Heads I do, tails I don't.
Yep. This time we're using a US $1 coin in the President series. So heads is James K. Polk and tails is the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
And James K. Polk came up. So did you say that means you are doing it?
Heads I do.
So
okay.
Then yes, you are.
So the task this week, the prize task, is the most confusing thing. That's what Greg does. And he does it again. Just replicating Greg there. Who was up first?
Order was Jess, James, Carrie, Rod, Phil.
Okay, because I copy and pasted my notes straight from taskmaster.info, which means that they're in alphabetical order by contestant, not the order that Greg revealed asked them.
Yeah, I wrote them down as they went by.
James brought in a DVD of The Matrix.
Well, Jess brought in... Jess went first.
I'm going in order of my notes. But if you want to go order... So this is really bad. James brought in the Matrix DVD, as I mentioned, but Jess, who actually went first, brought in a t-shirt that she bought in Spain. Now, before I say what's on this t-shirt, I want to mention the camera work, because Jess says she owns a lot of weird t-shirts, and the camera pans down to her t-shirt that she's currently wearing.
That just says mac and cheese.
Made me very hungry.
I hate mac and cheese.
You what?
I really cannot stand it. It's disgusting.
Is this mac and cheese as in like a ready meal, or is it like if someone lovingly made it, would you still hate it?
Yeah, either way, it's disgusting. It's too gloopy.
We're not going to get along then. But anyway, the t-shirt says IUF, that comes the Raven.
And it's being said by a very strangely drawn bird that's on the front of the shirt.
That's most likely a raven.
Yes. Looks like a pigeon.
Who actually went second? This is really
so
bad.
It was James. He brought so James in a DVD of the Matrix. He claims it was confusing because it confused his parents.
Yeah, that's the Matrix does. Carrie, was Carrie next? Just say yes or no.
Carrie went next.
And Carrie brought in the wires from the back of her TV. The thing that stood out most to me was the Wii U wire.
Yes, the Wii U wire, which I will call this out as fucking just ignorance. This is just ignorance of the highest order. You should know where everything plugs into the back of your television, and if you don't, that's your fault. That's not confusing. Make a diagram. Not. If you don't. And then up next we have... Emerson?
Phil Wang?
No.
Rod Gilbert? 50%
chance and you... Yes.
Come on, don't make me feel bad here, man. This is a podcast that I have to commit very little to. I have to commit so much for so little. Rod brought in a t-shirt featuring a photo, the iconic photo of Greg, and it was printed upside down.
Which I don't think is
unsurprising.
That... Yes.
And the confusing thing to him was how the t-shirt printers managed to print it upside down when it very clearly wasn't intended like that.
They probably put it on the press upside down.
All right, and finally we get to Phil Wang, and
yes,
the Phil box. Has brought in a confusing little box from Thailand, which he haggled for. You can't open it, but you can't somehow.
I enjoy that he basically does the same forced, unfunny bit about the haggling with like literally every prize. I also Googled it. 300 baht is $8.56 in US dollars.
Sorry, how much?
$8.56.
Okay, so that'd be somewhere around 6 or 7 pounds.
Which is approximately the price of one beer on board the cruise ship I was on.
Fucking hell, man.
Oh, it was awful.
So Greg, Alex has the box with him and he gives it to Greg to try and open. Greg can't do it. And James says,
"I'll just open the box, you pussy."
And a tidal wave. This one sentence causes a tidal wave of stuff.
Oh, I love it.
We get the second of two instances where Greg has walked a contestant to the area where the lights are not. And he's had a stern talking to them. If you remember, the other time was with Nish Kumar after the Sudoku puzzle. James says he's sorry, and they come back and they move on.
I also appreciate
that Greg still can't open it, and he destroys it.
I also appreciate that James shouted this immediately after Greg touched the box. B,
that weird noise was my me drinking from my bottle, by the way.
I figured
it wasn't me getting up to the microphone and farting.
Okay, sure. And then also, I appreciate
that. We have to entertain
that,
the people.
You could cut these out, man. You edit these episodes. You could cut that sound bit out of your channel if you'd wanted to.
Sure.
But
we'll see how.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Is that as soon as. It looks like as Greg stands up, Jess Knappett starts chanting, "Fight, fight, 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 fight." She wants him to get his ass beat. It's great. Knappett's the best shit disturber on this show. I love it.
So and then we get
the best line of it all, which is Jess Knappett going, "It's frustrating to complete tasks under pressure with a bunch of people watching, isn't it? When you can't open it."
Well, the maximum number of people that usually, well, not including the live tasks, they usually have to complete tasks just in front of Alex and the camera crew. Sometimes they have the fans of Chesham United football team. And that's about it. Scores. Jess's t-shirt gets 5. Phil's destroyed little box gets 4. Rod's t-shirt gets 3. Kerry's wires get 2. And James is off to a poor start with just 1 point. Do you have any objections, Joseph?
Yeah, hold on.
Is it worth Taskmaster Joeing?
Yeah, because I have Yep, let's do that.
All right.
It's the Taskmaster, and his name is Joe, and he's gonna tell us what we should know. It's Taskmaster Joe.
We're gonna get Spelvin to re-record all the jingles himself from like next series onwards.
I heard that. So so for last place, I
that's
put
a way
Carrie-
to get him involved.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for last place I put Kerry and Rod because neither of those are particularly confusing. The t-shirt printing company merely really put the transfer in upside down, and it's if you can't figure out how your own TV should be wired, it's not confusing, you're just dumb. Next, I'm putting James in fourth place because some people could be confused by the Matrix. Not a lot, but admittedly his parents are. Okay. Then in second place, Phil Wang. Because it's
what
a puzzle
is your
box.
Obsession with that?
I don't know. Okay, shut up. It's a fun running joke.
Oh, yeah. Not as fun as mentioning how old Frank Skinner is over and over again.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to put that image in again. I've been putting an image in every time we mention him for the entire run of this show.
The man's still in his infancy as a god.
The man is older than time itself. Anyways, finally, Jess Knappett, first place, because what the fuck does that shirt mean? I love it. But, anyways, okay. Before we move on to the next thing, there is an adapted version of this task, which you guys did not do last episode because I listened to it. And
well, we can't do everything. That's your bit.
Taskmaster Spelvin, so you could have done that. But anyways, there was.
Did you like Taskmaster Spelvin?
I thought it was very funny. Anyways, Director Savmira, which is the Croatian version of Taskmaster, did this in season 1 episode 3, which aired in December. I hate European date conventions because it's just backwards. It's December of 2021, so that was when they did that. Oh, and this episode aired on the 26th of September 2018.
Listening to Joe think for a second before rattling things off is quite funny.
Mm-hmm. Right. Next one. What the fuck does this switch do? Which is
I love this task.
This one really shows like how differently people think because
I think this makes a good like first task of the series, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Because, so the whole thing with this is that we come into the lab and there is a light switch bolted to a wall. Actually, I don't know how it's attached to the wall. That might have been relevant but anyways, and then the cabling disappears towards another switch because in the UK they have switched power outlets. So there might just have been another switch and an outlet there. But, and that's it. And the task says, work out what happens when you flick the switch on. You may not take the switch out of the room. Your time starts now. Which is, again, confusing, but I guess it implies that maybe the switch is Bluetooth. I'm not entirely sure how it works. We're never shown exactly what...
First of all, the switch doesn't do anything.
Okay, I get that, but the switch is plugged in and everything. But to go behind the scenes, what the switch does is that they flip the switch and Alex moves a statue outside. The statue is a little knight, like knight a decorative... Decorative knight
about
in shining armor named
tall.
About 3 feet tall, named Ollie, who is in the commercial breaks for this episode as well. He is,
the episode is also named after him. This episode is Ollie's episode.
And the task three also features Ollie in it as well. But what Alex does is every time the switch is flipped, he turns around and he goes and turns Ollie a different direction because Ollie is standing on that that concrete compass outside the door. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming that either someone is watching the camera feed and telling Alex when the switch has been flipped. But I could also point out to this being like some sort of Bluetooth device where you flick the switch and it just like pings a phone or turns on a light bulb that only Alex can see. But we never get shown how Alex is alerted to do this. But
my assumption is that he just does it every time the contestant is not in the front garden, in the garden.
I would not go with that because that would imply a lot because, you know, I'd be willing to bet that there could be some weird circumstance where like someone gets caught by something else happening in the house and Alex doesn't move the thing. I think he's being alerted to the switch somehow. They didn't show how, but in any event,
I assume it's probably just like a camera or something that he can see, like on his iPad.
I'm assuming, but
he's probably, yeah, that's what I'd say is the most likely reason. Anyway, how did everyone do in this task, Joe?
How did everyone do? So we start out with the worst with, well, actually, no, this might be a better version. Two girls and one Wang, which is we get
of our dreams. Is that the episode title?
Sure.
The threesome of our dreams.
Yep. We'll get a lot of confused people looking at that episode, but basically it's Jess, Carrie, and Phil who all run around the house and they see that there's like every switchable electric device plus a lot of plumbing fixtures are on. And so every time they flip the switch, they run back and see if it's on or not. And eventually they all make it outside and discover that Alex has actually been moving the statue. It took Jess 11 minutes 49, Carrie 9 minutes 26, and Phil 10 minutes 50.
Not super fast times in comparison to everyone else.
I mean, not super fast compared to everyone else. It's a lot faster than I feel like I would have managed it. Although, just to mention what I would have done in this, I would have started by ripping the switch out of the wall because it was clearly added on at like for this task. So I would have pulled on it to see where it went. That's why I was sort of asking, I wonder if it's actually connected to anything, because I could imagine just pulling it all the way along the hallway to try and find pulling on the cable to see what it was doing. But because also there was the thing, you cannot take the switch out of the room. So not sure what that would have done. But next up we get Rod Gilbert in a solo task because he fucked it up, because Rod is Rod, like me,
Rod's
sort
a peculiar human being.
Rod, like me, assumed that the switch was in some way connected to something, and so he turned off the switched outlet right below it, which the switch was connected to, and then flipped the switch, assuming that whatever it turned on would now not go on. And so he said that nothing happened, which is kind of correct. There's a great trope in American comedic films and stuff like that, where the mysterious outlet that nobody knows what it does is going to either be connected to the garage door opener or the garbage disposal in the sink. And
that's
will only
not
ever
really what I expected you to say.
Well, no. And it will only ever be used if in the, if like somebody's trying to figure out what it does at the exact moment that like something can be destroyed, like, oh, I dropped my wedding ring in the garbage disposal. Hey, honey, what does this light switch do? And, or like, you know, what does this light switch do? Click, 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 click. Cut to the garage door slamming up and down on the hood of the car. Like, that's a very common thing in sitcoms from like the 90s and stuff.
What I was going to say is, I remember this episode of Phineas and Ferb, if you've ever seen that show.
Yes. I'm aware of that very well.
They're in like some sort of fun house with a bunch of challenges, and one of the and you have to sort of like complete a challenge and move on to the next room or something. An escape room is probably a better way to put it. But they're in an escape room, and one of the challenges is they have to work out how many beans or jelly beans are in a big jar, and they can only move on if they get the exact correct answer. And Buford, who's the bully character, he has this idea. He eats all of the jelly beans in one go, puts the jar back, and he says, there are zero beans in the jar, and the house accepts it as the correct answer, and they can move on.
Yeah, that sounds... I think I remember that episode. I can't remember the plot, but that's a great show. Anyways, moving on.
It's coming back as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, which I have very mixed feelings on, because it'll no longer be a classic of...
So long as the original showrunners are with it, I think it'll be fine. But
I just think if a show's ended, it should sort of stay ended.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Like, imagine if Friends was revived, it wouldn't really have the same feel, and it wouldn't be.
It wouldn't have the same feel because everybody's like 30 years. Because everyone's like 30 50. Years older now.
Yeah.
30 years older now. And so that's why it wouldn't have the same feel. Phineas and Ferb is animated, my dude. You don't have to do any of that.
Fair enough.
Anyways, finally we get James Acaster, who actually has one of his better performances in this, which is...
There's something I have of note about James, but we can get to it in a second.
Because James inspects the room, flips the switch, and... eventually makes his way outside, does the whole circuit again, sees that the thing has been moved, that Ollie has been moved, and was like, ah. He ran back in, flipped the switch, ran back out, and caught Alex turning Ollie around. So
he got it quickly.
So he got it quickly. So he did that in 5:35, and then Rod deduced that nothing would happen in 3:37, even though he did not successfully get the answer right.
Can I just make one observation about James in his his run of the task? This is the only time James ever says hello to Alex in the show.
Interesting. I didn't notice that.
Well, I did, and I thought if I was Alex in that moment, I would not have responded to James. The amount of times he'd ignored me. Because James's ignorance of Alex escalates farther as the series goes on.
It's not on the task. Which I get it. But anyways, just so that we get the scores in before we keep on going. James gets 5 points, Carrie gets 4, Phil gets 3, Jess gets 2, Rod gets 1 point because out of like pity, basically.
You can't really do Taskmaster Joe for this unless you decide to give Rod the win.
I don't because Alex probably still moved Ollie anyways as like to prove a point. But there are 3 adapted versions of this. It's a Scandinavian sweep. We got Season 2, Episode 3 of Stormmaster, Season 4, Episode 1 of Basti Test, and Season 3, Episode 1 of Kongen Befaller. Where, information on Stormmaster and Basti Test is a little bit scarce, but in Kongen Befaller, the switch actually does control a light bulb.
Huh. Okay.
So they actually had to find that. So I don't know what the Basti Test and Stormmaster versions did, but...
Maybe okay, that's
the Basti Test version also controlled a light switch. it seems like maybe the Taskmaster one was a bit unique in that it didn't actually control a legit electrical object.
Okay. Shall we move on to the second task?
Yes. Yes. Dramatic, cool. Dramatic appearance.
Task two is dramatically alter your appearance. Most dramatic alteration wins. You start altering your appearance when you're inside the lift. They're in a small building with a lift that's on maybe the first or second floor. That's British first and second floor, might I add. You must stop altering your appearance when the doors open again. You may inspect the contents of the briefcase for 5 minutes before the lift doors open for the first time. Your time starts now. So up first is, actually, before I say who's up first, the contestants just go through a bunch of stuff. There's not really anything, no, other than the fact that James A. Caster draws a pair of boobs on a piece of paper.
Well, actually, I have some notes from
like where a child, they, like a child observing new things in the world. He's just like, I'll probably sound like this because it's just funny.
Breasts.
I do have some things to note. They filmed this section at Woodrow High House, which is a youth center and leisure center in Buckinghamshire. And you can tell this because they, well, it's like in Amersham in Buckinghamshire. So it's like on the outskirts of London. You can tell because there's a sign on a door during Rod's take on this that actually says it.
Oh, okay. Because there's so many Taskmaster locations I want to go to, but I don't know where they are.
Yeah, the Woodrow High House is owned by the London Youth Organization. It dates from the 17th century and is said to have housed the Cromwell family during the English Civil War. It is also said to be haunted by the ghost of Lady Helena Stanhope. That is the sole sentence on the Wikipedia page for Woodrow Buckinghamshire. It's not even about the house.
Wow. I'm looking at the episode, and I can see that Jess went first. So Jess, puts on a beard, a wig, some sunglasses.
There was a lot of stuff in that case. Like, and everybody just was like pulling out different things. Do you want to pull out like a soundbite of that? The soundbite of everybody like looking in the case and saying what's in it. Because there's so many tips.
It'd probably be quite a long one. We've already got James saying
breasts.
Fair enough.
That's the peak of comedy, just James saying
breasts.
Fair enough.
She made a shirt and a tie out of felt, and the beard fell off. There was something about watching the show and catch up on Dave, and I said, well, yeah, you can watch it on all four now.
Hmm?
They made some like sort of joke about
UK TV Plus, yeah.
UK, yeah, that's and it was now it's on all four. Phil is next. He puts the wig and sunglasses on. He holds a jar of jam in his hands, and he's just wearing a sign around his neck saying "Not Phil Wang."
I think that's really
like
funny.
Imagine that. Who are you? I don't know, but I'm definitely not Emerson Lowe's.
Yes, I am also not Phil Wang.
Well, we knew that.
Not Phil Wang. Not the bride from Kill Bill either.
Or what else is bright? Yeah, a big banana.
Not Noel Fielding. Not
a Pope, not Homer Simpson, not Pikachu.
Not the sun.
Rod is next, and he strips down to his, he takes his shirt off, he puts a wig on, and this is the weird thing, is he smears mustard all over his face.
And then puts on sunglasses.
The mustard on the face is hilarious. Like, why the hell would you do that?
I thought it was funny. I thought that was really, Rod Gilbert just is having an emotional breakdown this entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even a lie.
We're learning a lot about him.
Yes, so I would say let him go. he then goes into the bathroom because apparently it's agony, and you can actually see on the bathroom door that's the logo for the place where they are.
Oh, I could have sworn he walked into the ladies, or am I making
it was the it was the ladies' room. There's a little sign on the door for something.
Oh, that's perfect. It'd be funny if you had like he had like a woman scream as he walked in.
Yeah.
So this man, not only has a man walked in, a man who's shirtless wearing a wig, his face is just
I'm
covered
sure they
in
had
muscle.
The building closed off. I'm sure they had the building closed off for this.
But they could have just added like a stock effect.
It's not really in the show style. It's real.
Well, they add like effects in later series. Like
Not only
very, very rarely. And I feel like this is the sort of effect where you could sort of be like, oh, I could. It's not obvious it's an effect, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Who is next? Kerry.
Kerry was funny.
Yeah, she got into the lift and she counted really slowly.
Because they were told that the elevator would take about 18 seconds to go floor to floor.
Yeah.
So this actually screws over Kerry and James for different reasons that we'll get to in a moment. But Kerry counted so slowly, she got to 10 and the doors opened on the ground floor, on the bottom floor.
And he's not used to saying ground floor.
Whatever floor. Okay. Ground floor in America is like the floor that's on the ground.
I thought ground floor was first floor in America.
It can be, it's the floor that when you go outside, you go out of the building and you go outside and you can touch the ground. That's the ground floor.
Oh,
that's also the first floor. That's also the first floor sometimes, but not always.
But all Kerry has done is she's managed to put on a wig and stuff another wig down her top. Like she's got a hairy chest.
Greg seemed to think that she was doing a character, and I will admit, for a moment, I thought it was like a Donald Trump impression, like she got interrupted halfway through that.
Kerry loves doing American accents in her comedy, so it's not fun.
Like it looked like some of the SNL impersonators of Donald Trump over the years, but it was like did not get that far. But I'm not certain.
Don't watch a lot of SNL, but I know it's just a big old sketch show thing.
Yes, that's all you need to know.
And I know that's where the Blues Brothers came from.
Yep. Yeah, and then my
granddad's favorite movie, rest in peace.
Yes. And then
James Acosta.
No, hold on. I want to note two things from Kerry's thing. So first of all, she was really upset that she ran out of time and everything. Shows her unreliability with elevators is that she's standing there looking dejected and the doors silently close on the elevator behind her and she turns around to get back in and the doors have shut. And so she has to like sort of half turn and walk up the stairs instead of just pushing the button for the elevator car. And then meanwhile, we go back to the studio and an argument immediately breaks out between her and Rod Gilbert because Rod, I think, is like supporting her, except that she's like, don't support me, Rod. We will stab you in the face immediately.
Wow, it's that's like, a bit extreme.
Or stab you in the back. Like she's cool, like, have you learned nothing?
In the face. That's a bit extreme. Even
stabbed in the back. I'm sorry. But it's like, but have you learned
as Greg
nothing?
Would say, I hope you don't mind me saying this on this light entertainment show.
Although
you just threatened to stab someone in the face.
I was going to say, stab me in the face actually was said in, I think, season 3, but by, who said that? I don't remember. I think it was,
Oscar's crying in it.
No. Girl. It was a girl character.
Sarah Pascoe.
I thought it was Aisling B, maybe.
That was series 5.
Series 5. Aisling might have said that, but, I'm not sure. But anyways, we get a big argument back and forth with Kerry and Rod, which we get like, have you learned nothing? You support us, then we immediately stab you in the back. And then also Rod going on and on and on, and I only got Brillo pad on your tits, which caused everybody to burst out laughing. James Acaster ran around in a circle like a schoolboy.
He's such a treasure, James.
And then
I watch
going
his
on,
stuff on Netflix, and it's fantastic.
And then speaking of James Acaster, in my notes, I did write down, I am surprised that nobody tried to emergency stop the elevator, which is something that I would have tried to do. Now let's go talk about James Acaster.
It would have been futile, though, because what James does is he does press the emergency stop button on the elevator, but it doesn't do anything.
Well, he presses the alarm button.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There are emergency stop buttons in elevators sometimes.
That's what I thought he pressed. I think that's what he thought he pressed as well.
Instead, all that just happened was a stupid alarm chime played and the elevator kept on going. And he didn't realize that for so long that he didn't have time to do anything.
So all he managed to do was take off his jacket.
Yep.
Oh, man, what a fall from grace.
Oh, yeah. Now, I do want to point something out, because Greg did mention something at the very beginning of this task, which is that you have to understand what, like, which word they're putting emphasis on, which he's mentioned, like, dramatic. And so he has Alex, like, put his face in his hands and do, like, a dramatic reveal, which everybody else seems to have taken the emphasis of dramatic to be, like, a noticeable or striking change to their appearance, whereas I immediately interpreted this as a dramatic change, as in one involving drama, which the video I sent you on Discord is basically what I would have done. All I would have done is either put on or taken off my sunglasses while playing the music from the dramatic hamster meme video.
Oh, I know the dramatic hamster. It's like he turns around. It's da, da, da.
Because all you need, altering your appearance doesn't mean anything. Altering my appearance can be taking off my sunglasses. And that's but you do so dramatically. Like, dun, 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 takes sunglasses off, stares intently into camera. That's drama.
I remember that sound effect being used in somewhere that wasn't the dramatic hamster. Although I don't think many people would be comfortable with me saying a certain word live on air. I'll say it to you after.
Okay.
But yeah, James absolutely flops the task. And that's that. We've got Rod gets 5. Jess 4, Kerry 3, Phil 2, and James 1. Any objections, Joseph?
I do have my own scoring. I definitely didn't listen to anything you just said because I was looking at my own notes. Yes, so Rod first.
Well, I didn't even get to play the sing.
Yes, play it now. I'm sorry, I was going through my own notes.
Okay.
It's the Taskmaster and his name is Joe, and he's gonna tell us what we should know. It's Taskmaster Joe.
So Rod Gilbert gets first place.
Yay.
Because holy shit. I'm actually gonna put Kerry and Phil in joint second, because Kerry's was an appearance change, and I thought Phil's was funny. I thought that not Phil Wang and holding a jar of jam was weird, and I liked that. Jess gets third place because by the time I'd gotten through everybody else, I actually had to like go back in the episode and watch what she did just to remember it. So clearly not that memorable. And then James gets last place because no shit.
Fair enough. Okay, so there's one more VT task.
Well, hold on. There's adapted tasks.
Oh,
yes. More Scandinavian stuff. Season 4, episode 7 of Basti Test, and then season 2, episode 2 of Kongen Befaler. But also, apparently, the contestants are given 200 kroner to buy supplies for the transformation.
That's an interesting change.
200 kroner is $18.73 USD as of right now. So not a lot of scratch.
Okay.
And interesting to note that these were both pre-pandemic episodes that aired very early on in 2020, those two. So some of the last normalcy, Taskmaster.
And shall then, should we talk about the next task?
Yes, scales.
This could be our shortest episode.
I doubt that very much.
We're at 40 minutes.
We've still got a tiebreaker to go through.
I mean, if that tiebreaker takes longer than a minute, I'll be amazed. Anyway, VT task three.
I will make it take exactly 1 minute and 1 second. So the brief for the task was make these scales read 31.770 kilograms. The scales must read that for at least 5 seconds. Fastest wins. Your time starts now. And so we go with... start with Phil, which Phil actually did this in probably the smartest way, albeit not the fastest way, which is that he went out to the shed, filled like a plastic lawn basket thing that didn't have any holes in it with water, and got it to 31.770 kilograms in 8 minutes, 28 seconds. And just to note, that is 31.770 kg is 70.041 pounds. And if you search Google for just 31.770, that actually the first, like nearly all of the first page of results is actually from various Taskmaster pages and like Twitters and Reddit and the wiki. Very wow. Interesting. But also, just so that we're all the 31.770 means something. We'll get to that at the end. And then also, the task itself weighs exactly 0.02 kg. Is that 2 grams?
Say it again.
Fuck. Zero. Okay, so when they have it on the scale, it's zero. You can see it when Acaster picks it up. It's 0.15 grams, and when he takes it off, they haven't teared it properly, so it goes down to negative 0.05. So that's like 2 grams, right?
You said a lot of numbers. Probably.
Sure. Let's
just. It's definitely not very heavy.
But I just thought that was interesting. We have an official weight of the task. And then...
you learn something new every day.
Yep. And then after that, we had Carrie, who just piled random objects on the scales until she got the exact weight. She thought that she would have been better off just using a lot of bricks, but she didn't. 8 minutes, 13 seconds for her. Next up, we have Jess, who thought that she didn't have to, that she was not allowed to leave the lab because this was set up in the lab using a butcher scale. So she started piling shoes on it. And when she ran out of her own
lots and lots of shoes.
When she ran out of her own shoes, she took all of the crew's shoes and it smelled horrible. But
why the hell would you go with like just keep on using the same style of object?
I don't know, but she eventually realized she could get other objects. eventually she realized that she should use water, and she used a watering can to top off the weight, which took her 16 minutes 1 second to do. Among her many quotes is, how much does water weigh?
That could be another, like the quote that goes in the description.
How much does water? Yep. Breasts. And then, of course, we also have Carrie not understanding
breasts,
that the...
How much do breasts weigh?
Oh, my God. Now, among the other...
You know that really awful chat of like, hey, your breasts look heavy. Can I hold them for you?
I've never heard that before. Holy shit. But anyway,
I've never used it. I would not recommend using it. I just know it from a YouTube video I saw where these guys tried to Tinder in real life.
That would be... terrible chat up lines. Next up we have Rod, who put a lot of heavy items on the scales. He tried to spit on it to add the last bit of weight, but didn't realize that he needed to add even more weight after that. He eventually finished it off with like bits of the task. Everybody used bits of the task on it. And the 7 minutes, 7 seconds. And then finally, Acaster is up last, and he actually is very interested as to why it's specifically 31.770 kilograms, but Alex doesn't tell him. And eventually he gets it there in 5 minutes 44 seconds. Also, one other thing I'd like to point out, during Jess's attempt, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong, this might be one of the earliest iterations of All the Information is on the Task, which we will hear a lot in later seasons, but Jess asks if she can leave, and Alex just says, all the information is on the task.
I think that's a great quote, because, like, it just...
It is a great quote. I can't remember hearing it earlier.
It simultaneously tells you everything and nothing.
It tells you absolutely nothing. It's just like this show. You learn everything and also nothing. So the winner of this task is James Acaster. Then it's Rod Gilbert, Kerry Godleman, Phil Wang, and then Jess Knappett. The reason why the weight is 31.770 kilograms is that if anyone had ever played around with a calculator as a child and you flipped over the calculator and you saw that you could make it say boobs, if you had it be like,
8085,
the multi-segment display, like on this butcher scale, if you flipped it over, it said Ollie and 30, which you think, oh, that's really neat. Alex must have done that intentionally. Not in the way you think. That is the exact weight of the statue outside named Ollie, which means that Alex weighed the statue and realized that if you looked at it upside down, it could make its name. That's very interesting. And then moving on from here, we do have several adapt tasks, first, which is Stormester Season 4, Episode 5, which they have to pick up. In this version of the task, the contestants first have to pick a letter of the alphabet. Then they have to make the scales read a given weight equal to that letter's position in the alphabet in kilograms, using only items which begin with that letter. That sounds evil.
Oh God. That's hard.
What's really hard is Taskmaster Portugal, Season 1, Episode 1. In this version of the task, the contestants must make the scales weigh 701. Oh no, I'm sorry. No, I misread that. I thought it said 701 pounds. No, it is that. Yeah,
what?
701 pounds. I thought that's, I misread that. 70 pounds.
That's a really weird, given that it's a European country.
I guess the scale is an imperial, but I misread that. The font on veteran typewriter font, apparently which I've never noticed before, lowercase L looks a lot like a 1. I thought that said 701 pounds. That is 70 pounds. That's much easier. But then, that's my bad, everybody. Then again, that figure does not appear to have any hidden meaning. And then in Sirmastari Season 3, Episode 4, the contestants must make a pair of scales both read exactly 27.06 kilograms, which does not appear to have any significance to the show. Then in Les Maîtres des Jeux, which is Quebecois Taskmaster, Season 1, Episode 7, they must make the scales read exactly 31.770 kilograms, although there is no Ollie statue to compare the weight to. They must have copied that directly from Taskmaster.
Fair enough. So we got the scores. James achieved it quickest, yes. Then Rod, then Kerry, then Phil, then Jess.
Yes.
And finally, the live task. Well, not finally, but the live task. Correctly don the most items of clothing. You have 100 seconds. Most new items of clothing correctly donned wins.
And it should point out that they are wearing handcuffs, which is the big problem. Also, the items, as far as I could tell, do you know them, Emerson, or do you want me to say it?
Can you do it? Because it's almost definitely something you've written down.
I have not. Sunglasses, a fez, pair of gloves, and a scarf, which makes me think that each glove is counted as its own item of clothing.
Okay.
Unless I'm missing something. But I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Also, there's a rainbow striped...
You look pretty cool if you turned up somewhere rocking that outfit.
Well, there's also a rainbow striped thing on the table, like a tablecloth. That might be a poncho. That might be the fifth item of clothing.
Is it the poncho that Phil Wang used in his gardening costume?
I don't know.
I'm just making a suggestion. Okay. What else? So James puts on 5 items of clothing correctly. Jess, Kerry, and Rod all put on 4, and Phil only puts on 1.
Oh, yeah. This is a borderline impossible task to actually describe. I just, for anyone who
they're just
wants
squirming around trying to
watch the description,
stuff on.
Imagine 5 handcuffed people writhing around on the floor trying to put on hats, gloves, and sunglasses. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's very funny because Phil tries to sabotage Rod at one point by knocking his hat off his head. But you seriously, just go watch it. It's 100 seconds.
So James gets 5, Jess, Kerry, and Rod, like the scores are the points they're given are literally the same as the number of items of clothing they're wearing, which means that we are landing on a tiebreaker between Rod and James.
Yes, which is you get make the best loo roll paper aeroplane. You have 5 minutes in 1 attempt. Furthest flight wins. Your time starts now. Now, I was not a big fan of this task when I saw it because So James just absolutely gave up on trying to make a paper airplane because he couldn't make a paper airplane normally. So I think he just wadded up some paper and threw it. Rod, meanwhile, did not try and make a traditional paper airplane, and he instead took a single square of toilet paper and a leaf blower and blew the toilet paper around as far as he could get it. I would have tried... If I had been in this task, I would have tried to make a paper airplane, like very small, and it would have fucking failed because toilet paper sucks. But I appreciated the not even trying sort of annoys me. But Rod did actually get it 22.7 meters as opposed to James's 3.9. So Rod wins the task and therefore the episode.
Yay.
And There are no adapted tasks of this. However, there is a task from Kongen Befaller that is make this sheet of paper fly as far as possible, which might be similar to this.
Okay.
And then we are at the end of the episode. Or are we? Because at the end of this, you know, we obviously get Rod Gilbert going up there and making an absolute mess of everything as he knocks all the stuff off the stage just because he can. But also Greg makes a joke about us being in the Matrix. It's like, is anything real? Are we real? And then he slaps Alex across the face. And Alex was not expecting that either.
Very bombastic. He's a bombastic fellow. Greg Davis.
So that was the end of the episode.
That could probably be another episode title.
That could be the screenshot is Alex's face as he gets slapped.
Right. I just think a bombastic fellow sounds like a funny sentence.
It does.
A very bombastic fellow sounds like an actual episode of Taskmaster. I know. Like, if I went on Taskmaster, I would deliberately say quirky sentences in the hope that they would make the title of the episode.
Yep, you would.
He was a very bombastic fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll see which one we went with when the episode comes out.
Yes.
This is our third sub-hour main episode, I think.
I mean, if we can just... I mean, by the time we get sound bites into this, it'll probably be pushing like 59 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, the audio itself is less than an hour. I guess we'll see you next week. We might be taking a bit of a hiatus either in a few weeks' time just because I have a lot of stuff to focus on.
Okay.
I'll talk about that in a second with you when we've come off. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Until then, bye, Joe.
Goodbye.
Bye.